Hello, gay dads, and welcome to another episode of the Coming Inside Out podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dembo, along with my co-host, Brian Janes. And it is a little bit of a rainy day here in New York. Brian, how are things out by you on the West Coast?
It's a little drizzly. We kind of went from 85 degree weather to drizzly rainy weather, and now it's going to be 90 by the end of the week.
Wow. Just in time for me coming out to LA.
It is. At the end of the week. You are coming out to LA this weekend. So very nice. I'm excited to see you again in person.
Me too. And I'm excited that next week we'll have the chance to actually not be on a split screen and be side by side to do our podcast. And so that'll be exciting.
We'll be reading emails from our listeners next week also together.
So
tune in and hear what people have been saying to us. We have not been reading the comments that people have been sending in, but we will be going over them next episode.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, if for all of our listeners, if you didn't have a chance to listen to last week's podcast with Sean Williams, it was really, I thought, Brian, it was such an incredible conversation. Sean just brings so much depth to the work that he does, and he does so much through Gay Fathers Worldwide and his own practice to help so many dads, men coming out. It was really an honor to have him on, and we certainly plan to be having additional guests as we continue to move forward.
Yes, we received some very warm responses from people regarding Sean being on the show. So yes. Thank you very much, Sean.
Yeah. And, so, you know, hey, speaking of, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it looks like you're like moved in and settled into your new place. Do you want to take a couple minutes and talk about that process and where you moved from? And
absolutely. So I think over the last few episodes, I've been here, but now I'm actually moved in to my own place. The past week has been a whirlwind, both logistically of dealing with everything that's entailed in a move and going from a place that we'd lived in for nearly 20 years and just digging through everything has been quite the undertaking. But I am really excited to be in my new place. But at the same time, you know, it's been a difficult process because as exciting as it is to be here and for the first time to say I can now truly live my life as who I am, there's a lot of letting go of things, and it's how do you navigate what was with what you're moving towards, finding the balance between that. As I've shared, I've been very lucky in that my wife and I are still very close. It's our intent to maintain a good relationship, but suddenly when you're living separately, it starts to look different. And I recognize how hard that is for her. So it's certainly been, I'd say, a continuation, right, of the journey. It's that next step. I don't, you know, exactly what does it look like? How do you continue to navigate that? I think part of it is you just have to take each day, and that's what I keep trying to do. But it is exciting to be here in this space and to know that this is that next step in that journey.
Well, if for you, and it's different for you than for some listeners, and it's very similar for you and some listeners, but when I moved out, I did not move out of my family home because I was coming out as gay,
right,
because I had come out as gay. So it's exciting because here is something that you discovered about yourself and you took a massive step in your life to make that happen for you. where some listeners, you know, they're kicked out of their home because they came out, or they divorced before they came out. It's very different for you than for some of us, but I'm very excited for you, yeah. That, you know, but you, at the same time, you're waking up alone in your home. You're not waking up next to your wife or in the house with your wife. You don't have that interaction with your family like you did. So, yeah.
And that is, yeah, that's certainly an adjustment. And there's things that are really hard about that. And there are things that are really exciting about it.
Yes. Yes.
And there's an element of recognizing the possible of what can be. And I know there'll be ups and there'll be downs and there'll be good days and bad days. And I think the hardest part, and I don't want to say, you know, it's like, as we say so many times, everybody's journey is unique. But I do think there are things from what I've seen and anybody I've talked to that has gone through anything like this, whether it's in a case of a divorce, you know, kind of driving things apart, and then in, you know, your case coming out afterwards, or those who may be kicked out. There, and even in my case, where I've been able to keep a close relationship, there's still real challenges. There's pain, there's heartache, because you're recognizing, because of who we are, right? None of us decided one day, oh, I'm going to become gay. It's yes. Who we are. But because of how we've lived, because of how society has had us live, or we've felt we had to live, it does create pain for other people. And look, I can't speak for other people, but I tend to believe fundamentally most people are good people and do care about other people.
Yes.
And that's hard when you know that there are others that this whole process creates other challenges for.
Yes, I agree.
So I try and find, you know, how do you hold both of those things at the same time? How do I be really excited about what my situation is and feel that pain and that hurt at the same time and say, they both just coexist. They're both there yes. at the same time.
Yes, I agree with that. You need to embrace the change. That's part of the yes. process.
Yeah.
Change is happening with or without you.
Yeah.
The longer you fight it, the longer the pain, if there's pain in the change, is going to take place. So you need to lean into it and find a way to embrace it.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder, to a large extent, that pain never goes away completely. I mean, I've talked to guys that have been out for a long time. They have partners, maybe remarried, but there's still always some of that. It's kind of, you know, I'm obviously very different in the sense of when a loved one passes away and you go through a grieving process, you get past it and you continue to live your life, but there's still, right, there's always moments, there's going to be things that grip you, that get you, something that, you know, comes up. Like one of the things for me that I realized week before last, when I was in our house and we knew, you know, kind of this move date was coming up, weather getting nice, springtime here in New York, and I would always enjoy, and we would enjoy sitting out on our back deck together, you know, having a cup of coffee in the morning, having a glass of wine in the evening, and realizing by next week, we're not going to be doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Little things that you miss. Yes. I don't know. Does that go away? you know, or do those things linger in terms of what you would?
I don't think you replace it. I think you just make room for new things to happen in your life. So maybe it's not you having a glass of wine with your wife on the back deck, but it's you replacing it, not replacing it, but just allowing for some form of newness to come in that fills that space.
Yeah. It's letting go of some things and making room for the new things, right?
Yes.
And how about yourself? How are you?
You know, I shared a couple episodes ago, I was very authentic in the fact that I'm going through some struggles right now, and just how painful this process has been for me, because I felt like, you know, I had said before, I thrived in so many aspects of my life for so long, and then, but the ones that were truly important to me, my sexuality, my authenticity, you know, I wasn't thriving in those for so long. So once I started thriving in what was very meaningful to me, I started having struggles in other parts of my life, my career, because what I had been doing for a living no longer felt like it was something I wanted to do. So I've experienced financial struggles over the last couple of years. There are times when I wonder, how much do we really want to share on this show? Because once you share it, it's out there. But in my quest to be as authentic as humanly possible with this group, and hoping that anybody who thinks that they're feeling alone in something, somebody else is going to have the courage to speak up, and they're going to hear something from somebody and realize it's not just them. You know, I am 56 years old this year, and for the first time in my adult life, I had to borrow money from my family this year. And that was such a humbling experience for me, because I've always thrived financially, and to be in a place where I had to borrow money from somebody was just, it really, I guess I could have, well, what I did with it was I became depressed over it. And then I read a quote that said, every crisis is an opportunity to learn and grow, to act upon a higher plane of understanding. And so I had to really go within and say to myself, okay, Brian, you had to borrow this money. Are you going to live in the crisis, or are you going to find a way to learn from this crisis?
Yeah.
And it's been hard for me. It's been very humbling for me, but I've been learning from what I consider this financial crisis that I'm going through. And I shared something on social media a couple of weeks ago, and I got several people reached out to me with a response. So I thought I would read it. So if anybody didn't see it on one of our little clips, they could hear it. There's a video that also goes with it. But it says, one of the hardest things about healing is that the version of yourself that you became in order to get through the war that you were presented with is also somebody that you have to let go of. See, the version of yourself that you had to be in order to survive is not the version of yourself that you can be now to continue. You have to leave that version of yourself behind. So it is a double-edged sword. You have created somebody to get through it, but once you are over the hill, you cannot take that person with you. That person was for the war. Having to let go of who I was in order to become this new version of Brian has just been pulling me apart at the fiber. I have no other way to describe it. I feel like I'm just being torn apart, because I have been holding on to my past.
Yeah.
Because I had joy in my past. And I don't, as much as I try and envision, and I have great people in my life, I have a lot of struggle going on. So it's like letting go of who I was is so scary for me because I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know, you know, what's coming. And there's something, you know, it's, what does it say? Anything that happened before this moment is history. So it's like, that was the past. I can't base my life based on something that happened 10 minutes ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. It's like, what just happened is history. So what is my future? Mm-hmm. And I'm really, I'm like digging in deep to try and figure out what that is for me.
You know, I think that is such a profound passage that you just read, and it applies to all of us.
Yes.
Right? That version of ourselves that got us through when we were hiding, right? Brené Brown talks a lot about the armor that we put on, right? It's like it's the armor. You're fighting this war. And then you need to take that armor off. But here's the hard part, I think. You can say, okay, that version of myself, I have to leave behind, or at least parts of it behind.
Yes.
But it's not always so easy to know with, well, what do I replace that with now?
Yes.
And that's where not to play armchair therapist here, Brian, but right. But that's the hard part. It's like, okay, I don't know what to replace it with. So I feel this emptiness because there's nothing there to fill that void.
Yes. And I've tried to fill it, you know, after my coming out, it's like, okay, now I'm going to cycle. So I bought a bike and I joined a cycling club and I'm cycling. Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to paddleboard and I get a paddleboard and I'm paddleboarding. And oh, you know, it's like, I have all these hobbies that I've adopted, but yeah. There wasn't passion behind them. They were just things that I was looking to fill these voids in my life with.
Well, so you were filling it with those kinds of things, looking for something. A lot of gay men that come out later in life look to fill that void with lots of sex, lots of hookups.
Yes, yes.
I can't say that I haven't, yes. had my share. But because you're looking to say, wait a minute, what's going to take? What's gonna fill this? And a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the book, The Velvet Rage.
Yes.
And that's one of the big things that he talks about in the book is this tendency. And there's some criticism that he overgeneralizes, almost kind of like plays into a gay stereotype. So I'll grant that. But where there can be this tendency to almost overcompensate. Right? Because you're looking for that affirmation, something to say, this is who I am. And I need something to fill a void that was there. You know, I don't know. It's not necessarily an easy solution other than saying, sometimes you just have to be in it.
Yes. Oh, I have been in it. I read something, I think it's called The Dark Night of the Soul. And it's like, you just have to get through the dark night of the soul. It's like you get through the coldest day of winter and it can only get warmer from there. You get through the darkest moment of the night and it can only get brighter from there. It's like, I feel like I've been in that and living that. And I thought, okay, this is a 6-month process. Okay. 6 months was a year was 18 months. And now it's like, I am 5.5 years into this journey. And I just don't see the other side of it. And I don't understand why. I feel like I'm a good person. I feel like I've put a lot of work into making myself a better person. I don't know. So here I sit today with a smile on my face and just positivity in my heart that this is all going to work out. But I think, you know, because I've received so many messages from people that have listened to the show that it's like, oh, they are feeling this also.
Yeah.
And I think when you take what's happening in the United States, bring that into the equation, and then what's happening in the world, and you bring that into the equation, it's like, oh, people are feeling it on a lot of levels. It just doesn't have to be a gay person feeling it. I think the world is feeling this right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I think the what so many of us are going through in our lives in dealing with and understanding and embracing our own sexuality adds yet another layer to it, right? Because now it's external things going on in the world that can cause enough anxiety combined with the internal figuring out of who am I and what does this mean? And how do I move forward and live my life as who I am? So it just compounds it. Absolutely.
I agree. Well, so that concludes how I'm feeling or how I'm doing this week. So I thought, if
we got to go when I come to LA, we got to get out and have some fun. I think that's,
I agree.
Much needed for you. Yes.
So I thought we would step into one of our listeners wrote in, and these are some fun questions that we could, he asked three questions of us. I think the person that wrote in is 25 years old. He's on the East Coast. And the first question he asked to Mark and Brian, what was your first Pride event and how did it feel to be surrounded by other queer people?
Before we answer that question, I just want to comment also that the person who wrote in, you said is 25 years old, which really is great to see that we've got listeners that are not just guys of our generation, but are listening and finding value in the podcast. So thank you for writing in on those questions. So you want to take that or you want me to answer that question?
I'll let you go first. I'll ask question one and then you answer and then I'll answer and then you can ask the question two.
So my first Pride event was last year. Prior to that, I had not been to a Pride event. I wanted to go to New York City Pride last year, but just conflicts prevented me from going, had other obligations. So my first event was in Westchester County, where I live in White Plains, New York, which is where I'm now residing. And it's the center county seat, and they have a fairly nice. They've got a big Pride celebration. And that was my very first Pride event. I went with a couple of friends of mine who invited me to come with them. And I'll tell you, it was really, first of all, it felt tremendous to be, it was the first time that I went to an event like that, being openly out. And what was interesting for me at that event, I've been pretty involved in local Democratic politics for a number of years. And this event, you know, started off with a ceremony. Our congressperson was present. Our county executive was present. Several political figures. I know all these people, like, very well.
All right.
And here I was, not there representing in my political capacity, but as a gay person, queer person, attending the event.
Yes.
And a lot of these people did not, I wasn't, you know, completely, totally out at that point. There were a number of people that I did run into there that I pulled aside and I said, hey, I want to let you know why I'm here. I'm here not only as an ally, I'm here because I've just recently come out. It was great. I mean, it was just so wonderful to be able to be out and to celebrate and to be with other queer people. It was a pretty special day. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. How about for you?
I don't remember if it was West Hollywood or I think my first like Pride event was last year, Palm Springs Pride. Gay Fathers of Los Angeles, we marched in that Pride parade. So we were down in Palm Springs for the weekend. Several gay dads in the LA group and the Palm Springs group were down there. It was an amazing event because it was, you know, Palm Springs is a mecca for the gay community. And there were just vendors and events and just things happening. And it just felt so good to feel a part of something,
yeah.
to feel a part mm-hmm. of a movement, to feel part of something that, I don't know, but so many people were passionate about. So that was my first Pride event, and I enjoyed it. And we did it for the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's great. And, so. You know, having this discussion as we are sitting here now in early May, Pride Month will be upon us before we know. I think it'll be interesting this year to see how, will Pride events have a different feel, a different flavor, right? I mean, if you go back to the roots of Pride, it really started out, it was a protests after the Stonewall riots, and was really protest events. And just from a lot of what I've been reading, you know, this year Pride, people are saying, you know what, we've got to get back to that.
Yes.
So I think it'll be interesting. Yeah.
It's going to have a lot of political, it's going to be more of a political movement at the same time.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, and I'm curious, love to know what others think, right? Are people going to stay away? Are people going to come out more because of that? I'd love to see a lot of Pride events, I think, an opportunity for it to be both, right? You can get out there and say, we need to stand up for LGBTQ+ rights now more than ever. And at the same time, be able to celebrate and have fun, right? Those two things can coexist at the same time.
I agree.
Yeah. It'll also be interesting, as I've seen a lot of the big corporate sponsors have been pulling back from a lot of Pride events.
Yes, which is too bad.
Yeah. I saw in St. Louis, Missouri, Anheuser-Busch, for the first time in I'm not sure how many years, is pulling back from being a big sponsor of Pride there, which is, not to call them out by name, but kind of unfortunate to see these sponsors feeling that pressure. On the other hand, a lot of people could be saying, well, you know, it's become too much of a commercialization of Pride, so maybe it's not a bad thing. Bring it back to its roots.
All right, I could see that. But, you know, I think companies can support both sides. I think in this day and age, it's like you can only support this political party or this political party. You can't support both. And I don't know why there's not room for supporting both. Right?
Absolutely. So anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole. So our next question here from our listener: what's something that surprised you about gay culture after coming out and being more involved in the community?
Oh, I'm probably going to get some heat for this one. I found it to be, I'm tripping over my words. I was going to say broken, and I don't want to use the word broken. My experience with this community is it is weeping for healing. I'll put it that way. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of, I don't know. I think it's a newer community, because how long have we openly been allowed to be out and proud and gay and vocal? So I found it to be a wounded culture, if that makes sense.
Well, wounded meaning emotionally?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these are people that have grown up with rejection. These are people that have been ridiculed. These are people that have been bullied and teased and looked over. And, you know, and for myself and for you, you know, we're both married to therapists. I spent a lot of time in therapy, you know, even during my marriage, I spent a lot of time in therapy for a healthy, healed relationship.
Yeah.
So when I came into this community, I feel like I had a, a step up on some of the people in the community, because, you know, they haven't all, not that, that people in life all go to therapy, but I don't know. It just, I thought it was going to be more thriving. And I'll leave it at that. Cause
yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's validity there, because I think, I mean, look, if you look at the incidence of suicide, if you look at the incidence yes. Of drug abuse, alcohol abuse within the LGBTQ plus community, it's, and I don't know the exact statistics, so I don't want to cite something and be wrong, but it is significantly higher than in the general yes. population, right?
Yes.
Because I think even if for people that do come out earlier in life, even, and we've talked about this before, while yes, it's easier for kids today, if you will, right, to come out earlier, it's still hard, and you're still yes. constantly, because you are still not doing something that's the norm of society. So I think that's certainly understandable that it is there. But I mean, I think I've also found, while I don't disagree with what you're saying, and there's a lot of criticism of the gay community of being, you know, exclusive, exclusionary. I've also found in many ways it to be very welcoming. But I think when I was thinking about that question, what kind of stands out for me is that we tend to use this monolithic term, the gay community. What is the gay community?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because exactly. Now you could get into, you know, everything from, well, are you a twink? Are you a bear? Are you an otter? Are you, right? There's all of that. And then there's men like us that are at a different stage in life and have been married and come out later. Right. So is there, I mean, what's the straight community? Do we talk about the straight community yeah. and say it's all one thing?
Yes.
So I don't know if I would say it surprised me, but when you kind of think about the gay community, what I've come to really see is it's as multifaceted as every individual in the world.
100%.
And
I think you can't generalize it.
No, I agree exactly. With that. You can't generalize it. So I think it's about, kind of in terms of the second part of the question, being more involved in the community, it's, being able to find that niche, right? Find your tribe within that community and where you can make those connections. I guess in many ways that's like anything in life, right? Finding the areas that work for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Talk about the first time going to a gay bar.
You know, it's interesting. The first time I went to a gay bar, I was in New York City. I was by myself. And I decided, I looked at, okay, what are some of the bars? I was near Hell's Kitchen, and decided to say, you know what, I'm just going to go and check it out.
Were you yes. out when you went? Okay.
Yes. Yes. Right. I wasn't out as, you know, publicly and completely as I am now. I was out to myself. I was yes. out to my wife and my family at this point. And I just decided, I think what was going through the thoughts running through my head were, what the hell am I doing? Right? It was excitement and fear and trepidation. Like, am I going to be looked at? Am I going to be rejected? Is everyone going to look at me and be like, what the hell are you doing in here, dude? You're not one of us. Yeah. So there was all of that. But I did it anyway. I walked into the Ninth Avenue Saloon on Ninth Avenue in New York City, went up, sat at the bar, ordered a drink, and within 5 minutes struck up a conversation with somebody sitting next to me. Had a really great evening. And after that, you know, kind of gave me the courage to say, okay, I'm going to do this again. And checked out a few other gay bars. And, you know, what's interesting, I have found since coming out, I feel a lot more comfortable going into spaces like that, like walking into a bar by myself, going into a restaurant, gay, straight, whatever. Before, it's like, I'm not going to go by myself. Yeah. Now I'm like, I don't care. I go in now. It's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? If I walk in and it's not the scene for me, I walk out.
Yes.
And I've done that. Sometimes I've walked into some bars, you know, a gay bar, and it's like, okay, talk, you know, it's like, okay, this is not my scene. This is not, I'm not comfortable here. You leave.
Yeah. Because you feel more comfortable in your skin.
That's right? Exactly right. That is 100% right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm. How about for you?
Oh my God. My first gay bar experience, this may be a little TMI, but I just went on my phone. I looked up the closest gay bar to where I was. It was about 25, 30 minutes away. I drove there. They have a podium outside. And the guy said, it's cock sock night. And I said, okay, I had no idea. I was out to myself. I had made the decision that I was gay, but I hadn't told anybody. I'm thought, okay, my kids aren't with me. It's a Friday night. I'm going to find a gay bar. I had no idea what cock sock night was. So I said, oh, what? And he said, it's either $5 to get in or he holds up a sock. I was like, oh, I'll pay the $5 to get in. So I pay the $5 to get in, and then you go past this like black rubber entrance, and I walk inside this bar, and there's the bar in front of me, and there's about six big screen TVs above the bar, and they're all playing the most X-rated porn you've ever seen. It's not porn that you like watch for free on your computer. This is like hardcore porn. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is a gay bar. I was like, holy shit. And then on top of that, once my eyes leave the TV screens and they make their way down to where the people are, half the people are walking around butt naked with a sock on their junk.
What do you think cock sock night is?
I had no idea. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm subscribing to. This is
where's the back room where those socks come off?
So I did not know. I later found out, this is like a couple of years later, because I had come out right when COVID was happening. So this bar actually closed down due to COVID right after I had been there. But my first experience at a gay bar was like shock value.
You went like right for the, you know.
Who knew? Yeah, I could have gone to West Hollywood and where there's a boulevard of bars and seen a bunch of people. But
this was, you know, but you went right for the heart. You know, but right for the hardcore. The hardcore. No pun intended there. But you know, but that's, you know, we talk about the gay community, right? It's like a gay bar. Well, they run the gamut from bars like that, where I'm sure they probably had a dark room where there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
To bars where it's a bar that gay people go.
Yes. And have drinks. You don't have to go through a rubber entrance.
No, exactly. And put a sock on your cock. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So that was my first experience. I've had much better experiences since then. You know, you go down to West Hollywood, there's bars and restaurants all along the boulevard where, you know, you could see all the way to the back from the street. So these are, you know, G-rated bars. But my first experience at a gay bar happened to be at a very X-rated bar.
Yeah.
Oh my.
And where is this place? I want to go check it out when I'm in LA.
Okay, it's in Burbank, California.
Okay.
It's called The Bullet. The Bullet.
All right. Well, if when you come to New York or you know, if you're ever in New York, you'll have to check out The Cock, which
is an X-rated gay bar.
Very much. Okay. Along the lines of, right here.
Yes. Had I known, I would have searched up a different type of gay bar, but that was my first experience.
There you go. Well, hey.
Yes. So I thought we would go into some questions that you had put together. And the first question is one word to describe fatherhood. What is your one word, Mark?
You know, I know I posed that question and now I'm trying to come up with one word. Fulfilling.
All right. I chose the word gift. Because being a father has the opportunity for it to be a gift.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in my marriage and, you know, I forgot my backpack at home, I forgot my cleats, I forgot this, I forgot that, you know, being a father sometimes was a lot to deal with. And after my marriage and my divorce and living on my own with my kids, in my reflection, it's like, oh, having my children is a gift. It's something I discovered after.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you know, and I'll echo that. The other word actually that I would have used or that kind of came to mind as well is challenging. And again, kind of along the lines of like, the, you know, these two things can coexist. It can be one of the most challenging things and one of the most fulfilling and a gift.
Yes.
But really kind of recognizing that. So just a little anecdote here, you know, here I am in my new place last night for the first time since I've been here, had the family over, including my wife, for dinner. And it just felt, it felt like a gift to all be together. And also recognizing that, hey, you know what? No matter what, through this all, we're still a family. Now, I know I'm sharing my experience. I know that is not always true for 100%. Everybody. And I want to put that out there. So, you know, I know that's not always the case.
Yes. I loved being a dad my entire time of being a dad, but I didn't see the gift side of it.
Yeah. It can be easy to lose that in the day to day.
Yeah. I had appreciation for it, but the gift of it, I didn't see until after my divorce.
Yeah. All right. A song that captures your coming out journey.
Oof. A song that I actually had to research this one. So a song, and I have reason for it. A song that captures my coming out journey is a song by a group called Camino, and it's Better Than Me. I don't know if you're familiar with that song or not.
No, check that out.
Part of the lyrics of it is it's you've been so hard, you've been so in the way, you've been so hard to replace, and trust me, it's been difficult. I have my own pain, I know my old ways. He knows what it takes to be me, better than me, just better than me. And really, all even though this is meant as something completely different, I would walk my dog and I would play the song over and over and over, Better Than Me. And I really made it about me letting myself know that there was somebody inside of me that was better than who I was being. And so I was playing that song like this, Better Than Me, it's better than me. And it was just like, Brian, you have so much potential to be better than you. And so I really made it about me finding a way to be a better me.
Love it. Wow. So I probably, actually not probably, I created a whole playlist of songs on Spotify, right? That kind of inspired me or kind of gave me some kind of motivation through the whole coming out journey. But the answer, the one song that kind of for me just kind of captures it is Lady Gaga, Born This Way.
All right. There you go. There you go.
I mean, both. I just love the song. Gets me going. And just,
all right.
Maybe I was born this way.
There you go. I created a playlist too. I have good, positive, upbeat stuff, but then I also had stuff that like spoke to my soul.
Oh, so, I've got a lot. Yeah. I've got some pretty depressing shit on my playlist. Or not depressed, introspective. Very yes. introspective. Yes.
I would agree with
songs
that
I would put on in the car and I would just be in tears through this whole process. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of Lady Gaga, you know, I was talking to my son last night because she just had her concert in Rio and like 2.5 million people because it was on a public beach. I think they figure like 2.5 million people showed up at her
amazing.
Concert. Isn't
amazing.
That crazy? Wow. Yes. Yeah. I think that's amazing too.
Very cool.
Something you believed before coming out that you no longer believe.
That there's only one way to live your life.
Mm. Oh, I like that. I like that. Mine is I'm not alone. Mm. I'm not the only one. This didn't just happen to me. I wasn't the only man that with feelings for the men that married a woman that ended up having kids and was living a heterosexual life in a suburban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm,
It wasn't just me.
Right. Yep. Love it.
Yes. What brings you joy right now?
Doing this podcast with you.
Oh, I love that too. All right. Yes.
Right now.
I agree.
Right here in this moment. Yes. And you know, actually I say that seriously because it does bring me joy. It brings me joy to get to connect with you and to share things going on in our lives. And it brings me joy to know that we are impacting those who are listening. And even if it just has an impact for one person, that just brings me an incredible amount of joy and satisfaction.
I agree. This is a passion project that I never saw and ever happening in my life. And we've joked about this before. 2 years ago, did you ever see yourself hosting an LGBTQ podcast?
Yeah, right.
And it's like, what? So yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
Well, we're getting close to the mark. And I one thing I would like to bring up. I ran the stats and I want to share with the listeners and I already shared with you. We are being downloaded in 56 countries and 492 cities.
That's awesome. That's great.
So I thought we would ask people to write in comingsideout@gmail.com and let us know where you're listening from.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And also, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, if you're listening, like and comment on our videos or our audios, wherever you're streaming our podcast.
Yes, indeed. Well, great. Right. Well, Brian, as always, great spending this time with you and great spending this time with our listeners and our viewers. And next week in Los Angeles.
Yes. I can't wait to see you.
All right.
All right. Take care. See you next week.
You too. Bye.